Welcome everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're gonna bring in the
and has let us run some people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. We're warriors of calling, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant. The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace. Oh, yeah.
About the spirituality in the autism spectrum. Now, this is a diagnosis by man, but I'm finding there's something very unique about those individuals whose behavior is not like the normal behavior we expect. You know, we have people in our lives who don't meet our expectations, and I'm starting to see how this is a spiritual divine expectation. So welcome to all of you. Oh. Okay, I'm called back in, and I think I'm reconnected here. So welcome, everybody. Hope you can hear me now. I had for some reason, my Wi-Fi is going in and out, so it must have something to do with the planetary shift, or the powers, the cycle lead are messing with me. I don't know what it is, but I hope you can hear me well. In Blog Talk Studio and on, I'm on StreamYard. I am on my YouTube channels, both YouTube channels, and Soul Purpose Healing. So if you want to see me and see the videos that I'm planning to play, hopefully everything goes well with the videos I've got for you. Some beautiful, beautiful videos of galaxies above our heads. And the thing I'm noticing or realizing, becoming more aware of, is the galaxy within us. This galaxy within us is part of our journey that consciousness brings us to this realization that we are microcosms of the universe. So, hallelujah. Hope everybody can hear me. If you can hear me, maybe you could press one and I'll know everything is good to go, and I'll keep going with my audios. So let's see what's going on. Checking my technology this evening, just seeing if everybody can hear me okay. I'm on I'm on my phone. I'm in the host call-in mode, so I guess you'll let me know if you can't hear me. So I'm going to continue. So spirituality in the autism spectrum. One of the reasons this topic came to my mind is because my son, Ye, I call, a.k.a. Kanye West, I call Ye my son. Because as we began this drama with Kanye going on and on about his truth and his music and all that, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Most High, said, you need to pray for him and you need to treat him like your son. So I started praying for Ye, who I call my son, several weeks, even months ago. I'm not sure when. And recently, and so I'm listening to his voice. I'm listening to his Donda music. And recently he said something that got my attention. He said he had a new diagnosis. His new diagnosis was that he is not bipolar, but he has he is more autistic. He has more autistic characteristics than bipolar. And I thought, oh, that sounds familiar. Now, I realize my grandson has some characteristics of autism on the whole spectrum that we're going to learn about. Because, number one, he can play chess. He's only 6 years old. He plays chess really well. Beats me all the time. I rarely beat him. And even getting better and better because his dad, he plays with his dad. Even his dad can't beat him sometimes, or most of the time his dad beats. But at 6 years old, there are not many six-year-olds that can play chess. And then some of his memory is amazing. He can, his math skills are amazing. So he's demonstrating a lot of the gifts that I say, yay, my other son demonstrated at 5 years old. When his mother described him at 5 years old writing a poem in the backseat of her car. That was the beginning of Kanye West, the rapper, 5 years old, writing poetry. And to this day, the man is still writing amazing poetry and putting it into music. He's got some new music he just put out. So that's one of the reasons I brought this topic here tonight. And then just reading about autism, I realize there's so much ignorance about this topic. One of the things that has come out in the past is that many children developed autism when they got the jab for having to go to school. Many children have had numerous amounts of jab vaccines, whatever you want to say. Many children have had these shots, and their parents confess that their behavior changed almost immediately after those shots. So that's one of the other reasons that I'm bringing. Dial-in isn't working again. I'm sorry. Valerie Finley is saying dial-in isn't working again. I hope you can hear me. Valerie, can you hear me on this platform. We're on StreamYard, Facebook. I hope you can hear me on Facebook. Valerie Finley saying dial-in isn't working yet. You know, we've had, I apologize, Valerie, we've had a lot of problems with them. You can hear me. Yay! Well, then you're going to be able to see this beautiful video that I have for you, and I'm going to play it soon. Thank you, Valerie, for your communication. I need that to just know what's going on, but sorry the dial-in isn't working. We do have a few people in the studio who evidently didn't have any problem with dialing in. I only have one number. You might try dialing into the female solution number. See if you can get in on that, unless you want to just stay right here on Facebook. I'll be talking as long as the technology and the machinery is working. So I'll put the number up here. It's 515-605-932 for the female solution that's also broadcasting this show tonight. If you want to call in, 515-605-9325, that's the other number. If you want to go, that's the female solution platform. But I'm on Soul Purpose Healing solution number, and that's the 215-605-9325 is female solution, and Soul Purpose Healing, which it appears some people are already on Soul Purpose Healing number, but try either one. Otherwise, I'll be right here on Facebook, and I'm broadcasting on my YouTube channel, because these psycho elites, you just don't know what they're doing these days. 215-383-5863. So I'm posting both numbers in case we have problems, because we just have to, we got to cover our grounds here. Okay. Thank you, Valerie, for tuning in. It's nice to see your beautiful face there. I can see, yeah, beautiful face there. Okay, so we're going to continue. So as I said, I have a grandson who's demonstrating a few characteristics of the autism spectrum. It's a spectrum. And so first and foremost, I want to play some information about spirituality, because when I put up a post that says spirituality in the autism spectrum, people are like, well, what is spirituality? I don't get it. So I did find a really simple, fairly simple explanation, and it's short, of what is spirituality. In fact, I have two, because I wanted to bring in two perspectives on what is spirituality, so that we have a good foundation to start on when we talk about autism. Why? Why would autism be spiritual? So it causes so much frustration, anxiety, and so forth. And it's all about really changing our perspective on this diagnosis. Doesn't have to be negative at all. I'm seeing this as a very positive, inspirational thing to learn about and to grow. It's going to help us evolve when we have people in our life with this who are on this spectrum. So here's a little audio about what is spirituality.
Are you new to spirituality, or you've been in spirituality, or you've dabbled here and there, but you don't even know what that word really means, or what it even means to be spiritual? If that is you, then stay tuned to watch the rest of this video to find out more.
And I'm not hearing it here.
Hello, hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, okay, I'm not hearing
it.
In the Blog Talk Studio.
This is Rachel Alexander, artist and Mosaic Soul Mentor, a.k.a. Spiritual Teacher Whitney Blair from EarthSchool.com. And in today's video, I'm going to talk all about what is spirituality, or what does it even mean to be spiritual. So I really wanted to get back to the basics and really sort of do a series on these sort of topics, so we can all be on sort of the same playing field when it comes to spirituality and what that even means and why you should even care.
Okay, I'm going to start that over, because I'm forgetting. I'm on my phone now, not on the the other system. So I'm for my Facebook and YouTube, I'm going to start that over. What is spirituality?
Are you new to spirituality, or you've been in spirituality, or you've dabbled here and there, but you don't even know what that word really means or what it even means to be spiritual? If that is you, then stay tuned to watch the rest of this video to find out more.
Hello, hello, hello.
This woman
Mosaic
is from Holistic.
Hey, Mosaic Souls. This is Rachel Alexander, artist and Mosaic
Rachel
Soul Mentor, a.k.a. spiritual teacher with Flair from EarthSchool.com. And in today's video, I'm going to talk all about what is spirituality, or what does it even mean to be spiritual? So I really wanted to get back to the basics and really sort of do a series on these sort of topics so we can all be on sort of the same playing field when it comes to spirituality and what that even means and why you should even care. So when I was talking to my divine team, my higher self, they gave me a definition that was just so potent and pure. And so I'm going to just read it really quickly. So what is spirituality? When I asked that question, they said, it's the act of connecting with or tuning into that which you already are in a deeper and more conscious way. That is what spirituality is. And when I thought about that definition, I was like, that's so potent and it's so true. Because truly, spirituality is all about connecting to what you truly are, right? If you're a soul having this human experience, then who you truly are is a soul having this human experience, is a soul, right? And who happens to also be having this human experience. And so that's what really spirituality is. It's the act of connecting with or tuning into that which you already are in a deeper and more conscious way. And so when you are thinking about embarking on a spiritual journey or including more spiritual practices or more spirituality into your life, know that that's what it is. When you're thinking about, like, what is spirituality? What does it even mean to me? It's about connecting to who you truly are in a deeper, in a more conscious way. And when I talk about who and what you truly are, and I talk about you being a soul having this human experience, being a soul having this human experience means that you are essentially a divine being. You are essentially spirit, predominantly spirit, having a very physical human experience. So you're a non-physical being having this physical human experience. And so we're both, but we're mainly, our primary source of who and what we truly are is non-physical. Is spirit, is soul, and those words each have their own definitions, which I'll define in a different video, but we're non-physical beings having a physical experience. And so that's really potent and powerful, and I invite you to just contemplate even that definition, what spirituality means. And so I'd like to hear from you what...
Okay, so her point of view is spirituality is connecting with the true self of spirit, soul, and also knowing that it's invisible. So one more perspective, and then we're going to get into the autism spectrum. What exactly is that? But first, more on spirituality.
People all around the world have been wondering about what is spirituality ever since the beginning of our origins, and yet there isn't a clear definition about it. Many philosophical-minded people have come with different theories and explanations about what spirituality is, and some of them are worth investigating and explaining a bit further. This video is about bringing as many perspectives as possible together, as well as my own thoughts and ideas about what spirituality is, in order to come up with the best possible explanation. So, without any further ado, let's jump right into it. All right, as I said earlier, spirituality doesn't really have a specific definition. It can actually be defined in many ways. This is probably one of the reasons why this has become such a controversial topic. I've personally met quite a few people who associated this term with New Age hippies, cults, religions, belief systems, dogmas, or other traditions around the world. Well, surprise, surprise, spirituality is none of that. In fact, it is the exact opposite of what you shall discover in just a moment. One of the best and probably most comprehensive ways of describing spirituality that I came across is by defining it as the process of making the mind free from fears, worries, and nonstop thinking, and experiencing inner peace and bliss in one's everyday life. In a way, spirituality is about making peace with the universe. It's about accepting the facts as they are and trying to live in harmony. Spirituality is about training yourself being less reactive to the events happening in your life by freeing yourself from the monkey mind. Some of the most effective spiritual practices involve meditation, yoga, self-inquiry, as well as psychedelics and deep breathing. Spirituality is the process of awakening from ordinary consciousness, rising above the ego, and awakening to a wider consciousness. It can mean expanding the mind beyond its limitations, thoughts, and limited viewpoints about life and the universe. Besides that, spirituality is oftentimes associated with metaphysics. In a way, these words are synonyms because the quintessence of spirituality is asking deep, metaphysical questions about reality, such as, what is thought? What is ego? Where did the universe come from? Why am I here? What is reality? And so on. Spirituality is nothing more than philosophy, which in fact is another good synonym. You see, by being spiritual doesn't mean that you're subscribing to a certain belief system. It's the exact opposite of that. You're trying to deconstruct everything that you know by questioning the very nature of reality. Let's take materialism as an example here. 99.9% of the people on this planet believe the world is a material place because it seems that way. Nobody has ever risen the possibility of that being nothing but a mirage. None of your friends, co-workers, teachers, or family members have ever questioned if that is actually true. And yes, that's exactly right. None of them did so because they are not spiritual. They've accepted and taken for granted every bit of information as if it was given to them. And instead of accepting other ideas and treating them as your own, spirituality done properly is the investigation and questioning of those ideas. At first, it might not seem that way, but real spirituality is about questioning and exploring the deepest truths of the universe, with the ultimate purpose of aligning yourself with the divine, making yourself free from fears, worries, and living in the present moment. But to further clarify this aspect, how about diving a little bit deeper on what spirituality is not? I believe the main reason why there are so many misconceptions about this topic is just because people don't take enough time in researching this incredible field. It is much easier to dismiss something by demonizing it and calling it a cult, a religion, belief system, or New Age nonsense than taking the actual time to think and to investigate all these ideas. The first point I want to make is that spirituality is not the same as religion, because spirituality doesn't involve blind faith, obedience to authority, or following the rules. On the contrary, real spiritual people are most likely on their own. Furthermore, spirituality doesn't mean filling your mind with beliefs or fantastical ideas such as world peace. It is not about holding ideologies about the world. On the opposite, it is the acceptance of facts and the embracement of the truth exactly as they are given. And lastly, spirituality is not about worshiping anybody, not a god, not gurus, and not even ideas. At the core of it, real spirituality done properly is a very deep pursuit which doesn't involve any authority figure. So this is what spirituality is. Now I hope you have a better understanding. At first, it might not seem that way, but spirituality is also very practical. Because this field deals with abstract things, people have a hard time grasping the benefits of such big ideas. Because these things are not normally experienced by most human beings. Learning about yourself, deconstructing your old beliefs, asking deep metaphysical questions about the universe, and contemplating about life is what is going to ultimately make you happy in life. Living in harmony for the rest of your life without any worries or fears is possible as long as you're serious enough and you dedicate the right amount of time doing this work. Please click that like button for me if you like this.
I want to have your voice on this tonight. If you have a different definition of spirituality, share with us what your thoughts are on spirituality. because we want to bring what I think is the easiest definition is freeing your mind of fear and worry. That was the definition or part of the explanation given on the previous audio, spirituality being something that frees your mind of fear and worry, and then bringing harmony with nature. So tonight we want to take autism and all its characteristics and the wide spectrum of Asperger's disease and all the things that children have been diagnosed with. We want to take the fear and worry out of these diagnoses, out of these spectrums, and out of these characteristics that many children and even adults display. Take the fear and worry out and what bring harmony with nature. So I'm going to start with an explanation from the National Center of Autism, I think. It's a three-minute, before we go to the break, it'll be just perfect. Three-minute explanation, and I have several because I want to get more than one point of view. And if you have an experience with autism, by all means, please share it with us. Press 1 in the Blog Talk studio or make your comment on Facebook or YouTube. But here is just a quick definition of the autism spectrum.
Just as we need to respect each other's cultural differences, we also need to respect our behavioral differences, including those with neurological differences who fall on the autism spectrum. Autism spectrum disorder, or ASD, is a developmental disability that persistently affects how a person communicates and socially interacts with the world around them. This may include difficulty reading social cues, sensory sensitivities, difficulty with change, and obsessive behaviors, such as repetitive movement. When seemingly inappropriate behavior surprises you, consider ASD as a possible root cause. Remember, their behaviors are part of who they are, not something they choose. Learning the signs of ASD and other developmental conditions will help you understand how to support these students. Students with ASD might not reply to their names or verbal commands. They may avoid eye contact and have poor language skills. They may be fidgety or engage in repetitive physical movements and struggle with any kind of change. Some may be overwhelmed by sirens and other noises, or even a police uniform. Others might reach towards a badge, handcuffs, or even a gun without understanding how this may feel threatening to an officer. Those with impaired language reception may not follow directions and instead ignore commands to stop or walk away. Some might seek to mirror behaviors they've observed as an attempt to blend in. This is called camouflaging. A student might, for example, reach for a hug when it's not okay or safe to do so. ASD is a complex disorder that affects 1 in 50 people in the U.S. Students with ASD are often targeted by bullies and are 6 times more likely to have interactions with law enforcement. You're not a trained psychologist, but you are a trained observer. Be on the lookout for the behavioral characteristics you've learned. Try these proven tactics to help de-escalate conflict and support students with ASD. Be patient and give the student space. Use simple statements. Provide instructions 1 at a time. And allow plenty of time for the student to process and respond. Reassure the student that you are there to help. Be alert to the signs of increased frustration and eliminate the source. Most importantly, avoid quick movements and loud noises, and do not touch them unless absolutely necessary. Take the time to learn more about ASD. And remember, how you support a student with autism spectrum disorder or other developmental conditions can be a model for other students and faculty at your school. See you next time.
So that was, again, a brief explanation of the autism spectrum. We're going to have more after the break because I wanted to share with you different perspectives on this diagnosis. And my intention tonight is to help all of us respond with more love, compassion, and wisdom to people in our lives who demonstrate these behavior characteristics. And I'm saying tonight that they're not abnormal at all. We might be the ones who are abnormal, and they're the ones who have a special gift to bring us all into harmony and more peace. So we'll be right back after the break. I'm gonna open up the mic of my executive producer, Naima Latif, and she's gonna play some commercials for us. And don't go away. We'll be back with more information on autism spectrums and how we can all respond better to these people in our lives.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Joining me, all of you in the Blog Talk studio and on Facebook, YouTube. I'm everywhere because the technology today keeps doing its thing and sometimes it fails. So I've got a little backup tonight on YouTube and Facebook. And we are here tonight. My intention tonight is to help all of us respond better to those people in our lives who demonstrate this autism spectrum. And I'm sure most of you have seen that. And one really good example is Kanye West, or Ye, who I call my son because I was guided by spirit to pray for this man. And he's a very gifted. You can't deny that he's gifted. Some people think he's crazy. And that is exactly the label that many people who have autism have on themselves or have placed on them by others who don't understand the character and don't understand the root of it. As I said earlier, I think the root of it is vaccinations. Yes, I said that. The root of it is jabs. It's been proven many times, even though people are in denial about it, that parents observe their children change overnight after receiving the injections. So I think that's one root. The other issue is it's a neurological disturbance, and that could have been any movement of mom or dad or the child. So there's questions about the root of it, but we are here tonight to develop the knowledge, number one, of what it is, and then how do we respond. As I said, as we said, spirituality, and my sister of another mother, Zelda, commented on Facebook that spirituality scares the masses because we've been programmed from sunup to sail down. And that is so true. Our traditions and our ancestral beliefs and our society's beliefs look at spirituality as some woo-woo thing and new age and all that. But we're trying to simplify all these terms tonight. And basically what we're talking about is freeing the mind of fear and worry, because many parents are in fear and worry when they start to recognize this spectrum in their children. So let's continue with a little more information on what autism is. From some professionals. These are all professional people that I found on YouTube who are talking about this disorder. So here's another perspective on it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sheldon Horowitz here at the National Center for Learning Disabilities. Welcome to the next of our Ask the Expert video series. Today what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about autism spectrum disorder, or autism. You'll notice that I use the term autism spectrum disorder because it is in fact a spectrum. It isn't a single disorder. Individuals fall on the spectrum in different ways, having different kinds of skills, different kinds of abilities, different kinds of characteristics, but they all share certain things in common, and we'll talk about those common features and characteristics in a moment. When we talk about autism, we often talk about pervasive developmental disorder, PDD, also referred to as PDD-NOS, or not otherwise specified. We talk about Asperger's syndrome, sometimes referred to as high-functioning autism, and we talk about childhood disintegrative disability or disorder. So what are some of the characteristic features, predominant features of autism? Well, individuals who fall within this autism spectrum disorder have difficulties in social interaction, they have difficulties in communication, and they have difficulties in the area of behavior. So let's look at each of those individually. In the social interaction area, individuals with autism have great difficulty maintaining and establishing eye contact. They have difficulty reading facial expressions, and their facial expressions at times are also somewhat flat and not particularly expressive. They have difficulties with body posture, knowing how to move their body or moving their body in ways that endear them socially with their peers. They have difficulty with emotional signals, knowing when emotions are triggering certain kinds of responses or being aware of their own emotional status. They have difficulty in the area of reciprocity. That's the give and take that you experience when you're in social situations with others. Those who have autism also seem not to have a shared interest in or enjoyment with others. So their experience is a very personal, introspective, solo kind of enjoyment that they take in the kinds of ways that they behave socially. They are not at all tuned into or have difficulty tuning into the achievements of others. They have difficulty understanding other people's feelings. And especially when you think about young children, one of the hallmark early signs of autism is that they don't do that social, fun, interactive kind of stuff. So, for example, playing peekaboo. You know, young children often break out into laughter because it's fun and there's a smile attached to it and they giggle. Young children with autism tend not to do that, and they're often not comforted by touch, which can be very disconcerting, certainly to young families, to parents, and to siblings. In the communication area, We talk about people with autism having difficulties both in verbal and nonverbal domains. We very often see a delay or even a lack of talk. Young children with autism will sometimes begin to develop language and then it'll abruptly stop. In many cases, that language just never develops. They have difficulties in the communication domain with taking turns. So if they say something and when they say something, it's often not in a reciprocal kind of give and take way. They have difficulty remaining engaged in conversations. Very often what we hear and what we see in the communication domain is stereotyped kind of communication. So they'll often repeat a phrase or repeat a sound or repeat a word. And they may also be echolalic. They may repeat something that someone else says. They may echo the actual words that someone else has said. Again, in the communication domain, individuals with autism have difficulty taking the listener perspective. They have difficulty understanding and responding to humor. Innuendo is very difficult for them. And again, as mentioned before, in the social interaction area, they tend to be concrete and focus on their self-needs as opposed to the needs of others around them. In terms of their behavior, very often individuals on the autism spectrum focus on parts or pieces of things and not the whole. They may focus on a button on a shirt, or they may focus on the wheels of a truck, but not necessarily how that truck works or that a button is part of a piece of clothing that has a particular function. They often have preoccupations, so they may be preoccupied with toothbrushes, or they may be preoccupied with certain kinds of toys or certain kinds of objects around the house. They have a very high need for sameness. Routines are very frustrating for them, and transitions tend to be very, very difficult. Classic kinds of autism often are evidenced in some rocking behavior, so there's a rocking back and forth of the whole body. There may be some flapping behavior, which could be arms or legs or both, and what I call twiddling, which is taking something and shaking it in your hand or moving it back and forth, banging it around, tapping with it. Very often individuals on the autism spectrum disorder spectrum have hypersensitivities to certain things. So for example, the texture of clothing or the texture of food, or they may actually show a lack of awareness of those kinds of things. Of great interest is that when you think about the autism spectrum disorder, those individuals could be of low IQ. They could have pretty significant cognitive and intellectual challenges, or they could be gifted. There are features of ADHD that we see in many individuals on the autism spectrum, and anxiety and depression are often complicating factors in this set of disorders. We all know of movies like Rain Man, where we see someone who has extraordinarily highly developed and sophisticated abilities. Some individuals with autism present with savant-like skills. They're incredibly capable of remembering things, lists or maps or dates, or even have certain gifts in the area of music. They have some unusual sensory issues. So for example, individuals with autism may react differently to touch. They may find touch very aversive, or they may have difficulties managing touch and not realize that they may be touching someone too hard, or they may tap someone when they really mean to touch them harder. It appears that some individuals with autism spectrum disorder may have difficulties with modulation of pain, and again, they have difficulties often with certain textures. Also seen in that autism population are difficulties with sleep, and activities for daily living are almost always interrupted. The ability to care for yourself, the ability to dress and eat and feed and do certain kinds of activities for daily living, which may include, in some higher functioning individuals, the ability to travel from one place to another, manage money, and do those kinds of activities for daily living. For more information about autism spectrum disorders and for information.
So I hope that was helpful for you to have more knowledge to talk about the spectrum. I think most of us have heard about attention deficit disorder. We had so many children over the past maybe 20 years diagnosed with ADHD. And what did they want to do? Put them on Ritalin. Ritalin is not the solution, in my opinion, but there are some parents who don't see any other choice but to put them on a drug, which in the long run I think is more harmful than to learn about the characteristics and their personality and then learn how to respond, as we're doing tonight, with compassion, with patience, with wisdom. And I don't know if how you feel about this, but I think most of us are on this spectrum somewhere. It's either we're a sensitive in some area or another, or we tend to not want to have people around us. In some ways, every person in the population is on the spectrum of autism, but we're only hearing about it mostly in children. I've actually heard some adults who have been diagnosed with autism, and so the behavior is very, very well spoken of. It's heard of all over the planet, I think. But tonight we're focusing on those children mostly, especially my grandson. I'm starting to notice his gifts. As I said, he's playing chess at the age of 6 years old. He demonstrates a need to keep moving. He's always moving, moving, moving. He can't sit still most of the time, unless he's playing video games. Now, when he's playing video games, he's in a whole nother world. He's in heaven. His dad lets him play. His dad plays with him. He doesn't want to stop. So in some ways, I think video games are like a therapy for children on the spectrum. And so sometimes I think you have to let them use that therapy to calm them down. But the challenge is they get almost addicted to it, and then you have another issue to deal with. But I want to have play another audio on autism. Actually, no, we're finished with the autism knowledge. I want to go into the spiraling universe, because what we've heard, if you've been listening, the problem is the neurological system gets disrupted or out of balance when children or adults are demonstrating autism spectrum. There are a number of reasons. I believe the injection, the jab, is one of the problems that brings about these symptoms, and there are other reasons. But we're going to look tonight at this spiraling universe that we live in and how it actually is inside of our bodies. And how this universe developed, it's just been fascinating for me to, and I just got a text from someone, I think it was Kwame, about birth defects from a drug. So not only is the jab, the injections, contributing to the autism, but there are drugs that they're out there using that can contribute to what? The neurological system. And we can go a little further, we can go down a little deeper tonight by looking at the spiraling universe within us. And I have audio I want to play, and then I want to bring up a video for you on Facebook that is so awesome, that really shows us the spiraling cosmic universe, and I want us to go within to understand how this spiral is working in our bodies. But here's audio on why most galaxies are spiral shaped. And then I have another one I want to share with you with the beautiful visual that we can take to the inside of our body temple.
Why do spiral galaxies have arms? Is it to hug us? Hey, Star Citizens, Trace here for DNews. When you think of the Milky Way, you probably picture that familiar spiral shape we've all come to know and love. That spiral structure is very common for galaxies. Over 3/4 of the ones we've observed are in this pinwheel shape. And our own galaxy is actually in a subgroup called barred spiral galaxies. But how exactly spiral galaxies get their shape is still up for debate. Most galaxies spin around a central point, usually a supermassive black hole. It's tempting to think that those spiral arms are practically solid structures with the same stars all sticking together as they revolve around the center of the galaxy. If that were true, that would mean that the stars on the tips of the arms would have to move faster than the stars near the center to keep up. This doesn't jive well with the laws of physics. In reality, objects move faster when they're closer to the point they're orbiting around, otherwise they'd lose the battle with gravity and fall in. This is Kepler's third law, and it's why Earth's orbit takes a year while Mercury's is just 88 days. This means, though, that if the arms were made up of the same stars, then as the galaxy rotates, the arms would get stretched out and wound up like they were in a giant cosmic taffy machine. Our sun takes around 250 million years to do a lap of the galaxy, which sounds like a long time, but on an astronomical timescale, it's actually pretty quick. At those speeds, spiral galaxies should wind their arms into oblivion before any appreciable length of time, and we shouldn't be observing as many of these galaxies as we do. Astronomers call this the wind-up problem, and they've come up with two explanations for the arms. One is that the arms aren't material, but actually the product of a density wave. As stars travel around the galaxy, they'll come to areas where they'll all bunch up for a while and areas where they're more spread out. This means that though the stars are moving inside of the arms themselves look pretty stationary. You can think of this like a traffic jam. From afar, the jam appears to stay in one place on the highway, but the cars that make up the jam are actually flowing through it. What would cause these density waves in the first place is still hotly debated. Astronomers have found that spiral arms could be caused by other nearby galaxies or driven by the large bar shape at the center of some galaxies, but these bars and companion galaxies are not universal, so explaining galaxies that have neither with the density wave model is tricky. The other popular explanation is stochastic self-propagating star formation, but its friends call it SSPSF. The basic idea behind it is star formation in a galaxy causes a shock wave that kicks off more star formation. The rotation of the galaxy stretches the bright new stars into familiar spiral arms, and they burn out and die as the chain reaction propagates and the arms move on. It's possible SSPSF and the density wave model actually work together, and stars are formed in the denser areas, making the arms look brighter with their hot new stars. So those are the most accepted explanations of spiral formation, but some of the finer points, like figuring out if these spirals are long-lived or transient features, can only be answered after hundreds of millions of years of observation. So if you're looking for a career with job security, might I suggest astronomy? For a long time, we thought that we were the only galaxy. And then we found Andromeda. If you want to know more about our galactic neighbor, you should check out Julia's video on it right here.
Scientists recently made a really cool discovery using the Hubble Space Telescope. They discovered that Andromeda is surrounded by a giant ball of gas, and I mean giant. It nearly reaches halfway to the Milky Way. That's more than a million light years. Whoa. It's so big that if you could see it with the naked eye, its diameter would be 100 times the size of the moon.
Space is a big topic, and there are lots of questions to explore. Let us know down in the comments if you have a space question you want us to look into. Make sure you subscribe so you can get the answer to that question. And thanks for watching DNews.
All right, so what are your thoughts on that? Are you at all ready to connect your neurological system to the cosmic energy above our heads? Because that's what I'm feeling and seeing these days, is that autism, as I observe my grandson and all that, the behavior that we scratch our heads like, what in the world is he doing? It's like even the way he computes math and multiplication, we go, why is he doing it that way? And why is he behaving that way? And what's going on with him? And what's he doing? And I noticed one thing that calms him is water. So I want to help you also in your response to this behavior is try and get your children, your grandchildren, the people in your life to get into swimming and water activities. That is what brings my grandson into the most peaceful place. In fact, we were swimming in a pool on the Memorial Day, I think it was, and this little six-year-old boy was in a yoga pose in the water doing Om. Now, I don't know. I haven't even taught him about doing Om and yoga poses, but he's in, and I have a video of it that is just so precious. This is my little six-year-old in the water in a yoga pose with his feet crossed, legs crossed, going Om, Om. And then he starts singing, what's his name, Baptiste. song Freedom in the water. I'm like, what in the world? And he just shocks me all the time with this type of natural behavior. So I'm learning myself, and I think part of the reason I'm doing the show kind of selfish, so I can learn how to respond to this person in my life in a way that's not in fear or worry or, you know, always scratching my head, like, what the hell is going on here with this child? Because he's just displaying so many unusual behaviors that make us scratch our head and say, okay, there's something really going on here special. And so I'm learning to accept his behavior and learning and hoping you and I can learn together how to motivate these people to create a peaceful, more loving planet for us. Because that's why I believe they are in this position that they're in, to share with us and to be able to teach us their world. They want to be able to teach us their world. So here's a video I'm going to share with you about how did the Milky Way get its spiral? Because I think this is the key to understanding all of our spiraling energy in our body that sometimes gets out of balance. But we're really all the way in alignment with the cosmos and the planets. So let me play this. How did the Milky Way get its spiral for you?
The galaxies come in all shapes and sizes. There are shapeless blobs and smooth ellipses. But about three-quarters of galaxies have that classic spiral structure, including the Milky Way, except even though astronomers are surrounded by examples of galaxies like these, they still don't fully understand how these spirals form or how they keep their shape over billions of years. But they're working on getting to the bottom of it, because the better we understand the physics of spirals, the better we can understand the origin and the future of these galaxies and their stars, one of which we live around. The thing that makes this tricky is that a spiral galaxy doesn't work like a classic pinwheel. It looks like one with its sweeping arms full of stars all rotating around the center, but if it worked like a pinwheel, the stars would be fixed within those arms and swept around as the galaxy rotated, and in reality, that's not what happens. Observations have shown that spiral galaxies do rotate, but the inner parts spin faster than the outer edges. So if stars were really fixed in place in the arms, the difference in rotation speed across the disk would slowly wind the arms tighter and tighter. And so eventually the arms would disappear. But it doesn't seem like that happens. Spiral galaxies can last for billions of years without losing their arms. This creates what's called the winding problem, and it tells us that there must be something else going on. So if the spiral arms aren't fixed packs of stars, what are they? Well, in the 1960s, a pair of astronomers had a new idea. Maybe the arms are the areas where the stars just happen to be more densely packed. This is called the density wave theory, and it suggests that as stars orbit around the center of the galaxy, they pass in and out of these higher density regions. It's kind of like how cars pass in and out of a traffic jam. The part of the highway that's jammed up stays that way even as individual cars move in and out. So according to this theory, as the spiral arms move around the center of the galaxy, the stars themselves move at a different speed in and out of the arms. Now, the theory did not suggest how these waves might get started in galaxies, but we know that density waves are like ripples in a pond. They come from some disturbance that sends waves moving outward, except since a galaxy is rotating instead of sitting still in a pond, its ripples create spirals instead of circles. And hypothetically, those spiraling ripples would interact to form spiral arms. At first, this was all based on simulations. Since everything happens on cosmic timescales, it's hard to actually see any of this in action. But one way astronomers have been able to find evidence for density wave theory is by testing some of its predictions. For one, if galaxies' spiral arms really did come from density waves, astronomers expect expected compressed gas in the dense regions to ignite into lots of new stars. And since the 1960s, astronomers have noticed that these galaxies' bright young stars are mostly concentrated in the spiral arms. More recently, in a 2016 study, researchers tested their prediction that stars travel at a different speed than the arms, and they did this by analyzing the position of stars of different ages in dozens of spiral galaxies. Since stars change color as they age, scientists could study specific age groups by isolating different colors of light. As expected, they found the youngest stars mostly in the arms, while older stars were typically located farther and farther away. It was pretty strong evidence that stars' spiral arms, they're just passing through. To be fair, the density wave theory isn't the only explanation that's been suggested for spiral galaxies, but so far, these lines of evidence make it the leading idea. That said, there are still some big unanswered questions. Like, scientists still don't know what exactly could cause these density waves in the first place. Some have suggested that since many spiral galaxies have a bar at the center, maybe those bars set off ripples in the galactic disk as they rotate. Except, scientists think that the bars themselves are formed by density waves, which leaves the question of where those waves came from. Plus, not every spiral galaxy has a bar in the middle, so this can't be the only explanation. Another hypothesis is that density waves could be caused by smaller companion galaxies tugging at the disk from the outside. But sometimes spiral galaxies don't appear to have companion galaxies either. And, like, they could just be too dim for us to see, but more likely, we need a better explanation. So maybe the answer is simpler than we think. Some simulations have suggested that spirals get going spontaneously from density fluctuations within the disk. You know, just like how traffic jams sometimes happen for no reason at all. But for now, scientists will need to keep studying spiral galaxies to make sense of their mysterious swirls. And the better we understand these distant spirals, the better we can understand the galaxy we live in and how it came to be. Here on Earth, there are a lot of reasons to think about our star, and one of them is solar power. It's clean, renewable.
So I hope that if you're watching that video here in Facebook, I hope you can imagine that spiraling activity inside of our bodies. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about how that spiral manifests in our bodies. Because it's part of the autism spectrum, the stars, these children, these people are stars that, just as he was describing, they behave in all kinds of ways that we don't understand. And scientists are always trying to figure out why the cosmos and the planet behaves the way it does. And that's what we're at a place now in understanding about autism spectrum. Why do these children, why do these people behave that way? And I'm suggesting that it has to do with the makeup of the universe being a spiraling energy of love, a spiraling energy of purpose, of divine purpose, that all these children, adults who have this autism, it's a purpose, a divine purpose to help us to not only accept it, but to work in love, compassion, and wisdom to help these specially gifted stars, if you will, to show their gifts and use their gifts in a powerful way. So we'll be back, and I want to talk about this. If you have any comments or questions about what we've already shared with you, please press 1 in the studio and then make your comment on Facebook, and we'll share it with the rest of our audience. So Naima Latif is going to bring us more commercial messages.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant. Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for joining me this evening. And we're talking about spirituality in autism spectrums, which is all about removing the fear and worry about this unusual characteristic and behaviors that we observe in people we love, people we know, and learning how to respond with love, compassion, and wisdom to these unusual behaviors that will help and motivate these people who are gifted, really, in a special way to change our planet. I believe the divine purpose for allowing these disruptions in their spiraling bodies is to help us develop into the next dimension and the next reality that we are in on planet Earth. We are in a place right now of transition. We are coming out of this third dimension of fear, worry, racism, fear and confusion. And I believe the increase in autistic spectrum diagnosis is partly about helping us develop, helping us change this world, a new paradigm from those people who are specially gifted to create a vision, create their own vision of what they think the world should be like. It's rare that I see autistic individuals being violent. Their behavior may be extreme, and if you have a different experience, by all means, share that with us. But their behavior may be extreme. On the one hand, like, for instance, my grandson is always like, leave me alone. When he can't get his way, he's like, leave me alone, don't touch me. And so we have to kind of back off from him. Because it's like his nervous system is going at a high speed. But once he gets back into calm and balance, then he is once again his creative and genius, really genius self in the way he participates in our world. We get to participate in his world, he and ours. And then we are interacting with this gifted individual to help them share their gift, share their genius in a way that is going to change all of us and make us all better persons. And I want to say the spiraling universe that we are talking about tonight, I have found it's demonstrated in the hair of melanin people. We look at the spinal cord and the more than that, the DNA. If you look at the pictures of DNA, they always show this spiraling ladder. This spiraling ladder that is transferring energy, intelligence, and all that. But I'm looking at my hair every day and realizing that my hair, these spirals of curls, if you're looking at me on Facebook, these spirals of curls are just an extension of the spiraling energy inside of me. And why, you might ask, are melanin people manifesting these curls more than others? That's a question that we can answer tonight with the realization that only melanin people, people who have strong melanin energy and genes, have this spiraling hair. My grandchildren are biracial, and their mother is from Colombia, but they still have those curls in on their hair. They're softer curls. My curls are tighter, and I love now to nourish my antennas, because to me now, my curls represent, at this stage of my life, they represent an awareness and a consciousness of the spiraling universe within, inside of all of us. And melanin people especially are manifesting it in their hair. So we're going to talk about that in a little while. We have a caller who raised their hand. I believe this is Kwame Sunhorse. Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Sister Viata. And
good
excellent
evening.
Topic. Excellent
Thank
topic.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Speak up.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And I would recommend, if you're into this and what you're looking about, what the questions you're asking, the book is called The Origin, Neil deGrasse Tyson, about the 14 billion years of cosmic evolution. And this is what we're talking, what this is what you're speaking on. And what we're looking at is, you're talking about the spiral of the our Milky Way, which, by the way, 240 million years to make one cosmic year. 240
wow.
million 240 million years. And what we are in that, we're right now 2,160 years is an era. And we're ending that era of the 12 signs of the zodiac. And that whole thing in our solar system takes 25,920 years. We're
wow.
in the Milky Way spiral. And so what we're looking at is we are not even scratching the surface of knowledge that our ancestors were beginning to study the astral me. And what we're doing with our technology is reaching out. But what we have to understand is that each era and each part of where we are in the galaxy sends a different frequency to the humans and to the planet. And what we're now having, because every 7 seconds a child is born, and in today, this day, in 24 hours, there are 12,340-something babies that were born into this day.
Wow. Wow.
So we're constantly reproducing life on this planet, and each one of those babies that are born with a different frequency receptivity. And what
yeah.
we're looking at is evaluating them from our perspective as elders and from the science that we've gathered. But we don't understand their biological being, and their whole neural network is to a frequency that they're going to grow into that we haven't any idea of what the experience will be.
Which
is
why we're judging these children or people who have these gifts and these behaviors that we don't understand.
And we give them names to say that they're, we used to call people waterhead babies, or they were retarded, or they were all of these names that we gave because we didn't understand. And so what we don't understand, we give a label to. You got people that right now today has nature deficit disorder don't understand that because they live up in a high-rise building in an enclosed area away from nature, they've altered their own consciousness. And what we're seeing is that in this ascending that is happening on this planet and throughout this solar system, is that we are now in frequencies that we don't understand totally, because we have altered it by putting radio waves, or we're putting radioactive waves called 5G and all these other frequency of transmission with technology, when it dehydrates the air. And water, yep, like you said, your little grandson sat in the water and was saying, oh, the vibration of what the frequency that's in the galaxy. That is, yep, the frequency that picks up. Every planet in our 9-planet solar system has its own frequency. The sun has a frequency. They did the same experiment Dr. Emoto did, and recording the sun's frequency, and it makes perfect snowflake 8-pointed crystals. And so you're looking at that child coming into the world has to be in tune to be the receiver of the energy that's coming out of that this solar system and the galaxy. And distorted as it is, it's still not as powerful as the divine intelligence. Because in that development of that child in the womb, it was picking up frequencies from that mother's interaction with the world outside of that it was getting ready to come into. That's why.
So you sent me something about a drug that affects.
They're now have a class action suit on different pain medications that were prescribed or told to women to take that relates to autism. Because what you overstand, and what we did overstand, is that when the woman conceives, her immune system activates towards that child's immunity to basically all other things that will hurt us. It's built in a defense system to defend that child in its development. So that's why we knew as indigenous people, when a woman conceives and they say that she's carrying a child, that is the most precious time, and this is the most loving time that you're supposed to give to her. She's not supposed to be infected by television and violence and all of this stuff that we see. Actuality, the child was conceived when the girl had the thought of a baby. That's your birth. When our mothers, as a girl, thought about a baby, you were perceived from the cosmic to that human being. All the rest of it had to be developed, because while that male or female is in the womb, it already has its eggs and its sperm for the next generation. So what we're doing is that we're already programmed. This is why we talk about the spiraling of the DNA and the spiraling of the Milky Way and the galaxies and Andromeda. The thing that we are in a position in this galaxy that we have not been in 25,000 years. So what we're getting is the frequency of all the planetary alignments that we have not been in contact with for that long. So the development of the human and the planet is going to go through a great shift, and we have to begin to understand it. You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, has done an excellent book, and he talks about the origin of structure, how the Milky Way began, how all of that, because in the center of the Milky Way, as they says, is the black hole. The black hole and the black hole and the womb of woman are one and the same. The black hole takes in light and gives off stars. The woman takes in the light of that sperm and gives off life.
So we have, and knowing, having all this knowledge that Kwame is sharing with us, when we are aware of this knowledge about our bodies, the solar system, the cosmos, the Milky Way, we have these corporations on planet Earth called pharmaceutical companies. And they are doing the adversary. We could call it evil. We could call it wicked. We could call it destructive. There are many things we could say about the pharmaceutical industries and the damage that they're doing, or the altering of the perfect sacred human body. So when I hear about drugs like Kwame mentioned that are affecting pregnant women, that are affecting children, that are affecting all humans in a way that they bring about side effects, and what are we to do about that? This is the question that all of us need to ask, especially after the last 2-3 years of Twilight Zone coronavirus madness, that the answer was supposed to be a pharmaceutical drug. So now we're at a place, as Kwame said, we're in this transition. We're in this place of high frequency disturbances, not only from the pharmaceutical, but from our planetary universe.
But what I'm sharing this for is that I gave that statistic. There's an excellent book, Brown, the New White, Brown, the New White by Stephen Phillips. And what he talks about is what I was sharing, the statistic of every 7 seconds a child is born, there's 12,000 children born in a day. There is 7,000 people of human beings of color born in a day. There's only 1,000 of non-color people born in a day. And what we're having is that they're aware of the population growth on this planet of the ones absent of color and the ones of color. Because in them having 6,000 births a day, 6,000 births a day, also know that they have over 5,000 deaths in a day. We have 6,000 births in a day, and we only have 1,000 deaths in a day. These are the things that happen biologically. Biologically, they know that they are on the road of elimination. And what they are looking at is how to, as they did in the Georgia Guidestone, saying that they're only going to be 500 million people. This is what the population. They're in fear of what's going to happen, what Francis Crest Wilson talks about, genetic annihilation.
Now, when
there
you say
they, evolution.
Who are you talking about, they? You want to clarify that?
I'm saying people of abstinence of melanin, why people.
Okay.
They are looked at here on Turtle Island as the largest population of people on Turtle Island. But they are not, their population is declining. Europe is 1.5 million people less of European descent are not populating. So what we're looking at is a depopulation of those ones that have come and taken on the task of being, quote unquote, the supremacist of races. But their race is being not genetic, it's genetic annihilation.
Let me go to my next caller, and I agree. I call them the psycho elites, because we got many humans and non-humans on this planet who are in their egotistical, extreme, narcissistic mind, who want to bring about something that is not going to happen, in my opinion, because the divine override is going to occur when all of us are raising our consciousness. And that's what's happening. People are waking up. But we're still in this battle of the psycho elites trying to take over, control us. And this show is all about bringing us back into alignment with the love, compassion, and wisdom of our universe, the creator. So I'm going to open up the mic, 708-602. Your mic is open. Welcome. What's your comment or question?
Greetings, much love, in peace and love. Can you hear me, family?
Yes, welcome. It's Brother Eddie Harris in Chicago, right?
Yes, 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 family. And I got five on it, but we're not on the five right now since you're talking about autism. So just to home in on a couple of things that have been touched on when we talk about those curls that come from our people of the nation. Well, curls come to 22, and it's connected to God, God being 13. It's all the four, because you mentioned also spiral. Spiral is 22, like the curl is 22. It's right
wow.
there aligned with okay. God, family. See, because even line is 13, and we understand when we on line with God, it's all on that 4, 13 to 4. Anyway, let's get to the 8, which is autism, 26. See, because, again, you all talking about it. It's the fear. Fear is 8. Autism is 8. The fear is only the interference that these children are getting. The interference is mental. Interference is 53-8. Mental is 17-8. Fear is also 17-8. They have an interference of a mental thinking, thinking being 44, which is 8, that we don't get that they have. And because
wow.
of the understanding, 53, which is 8, we just don't understand their thinking. See? But their thinking that they have, as you said, is here to help us fix us. Fix us is 8, family. They're part of what's here to fix us. And because they've been labeled, the hell with they label, let's look at the number behind that label of autism, which is 8. They're here to fix us. Help us fix us. And we in fear. They have none. It's an interference of a mental thinking that they're getting that we just don't have. That's it. So with that, family, I'm going to give you that to think on, to marinate on. And with that, peace and love, family, to the next time.
Wow, that's a real mind blower there, because, you know, my grandson has this huge afro right now, and he refuses to let anybody touch it or cut it. And when you talk about they are here to fix us, it's almost this little six-year-old has a sense that these curls are his power. And he, as much as we're wanting to trim his hair and comb his hair, he's like, ah, don't touch my hair. Don't touch my hair. So it just,
well,
you know, it's a tough.
Let me share. Let me share this right quick. Hair
yeah.
is 17, as we said. 17
oh
is 8.
God.
Antenna is 17. His hair is his antenna. And I
oh,
have
wow.
locks myself. My locks come all the way down to my waist, family. I won't let nobody. I've been growing my locks for 14 years. I got 5 on it. Ain't nobody going to cut my locks because these are my antennas. So, yes, he's right on time, because remember, the last time we was here, it was during the black movement, Black Panther Party movement, when they all had froze, Angela Davis. They know when our hair starts to grow, we in the know. We just don't know when our hair, but our babies do. Just passing it on from me to you, family. Love you.
And
wow.
didn't you just do a show on the hair and the hair that people are weaving into their heads and putting dead people's hair and sacrificed hair onto their heads and putting that energy into their own body energy?
Yeah, and I hope that this word will get out of the number, not only the numbers, the language of the universe is numbers. So it's so good to hear from Brother Eddie Harris about the comparison of all these numbers and the synchronicity of all these numbers. And then said, Kwame, the spirit keeps putting it in my mind to talk about this hair ever since Chancoilla Robinson's death. And the hairstylist, it just hasn't left me that you got to talk about the hair. You got to talk about the hair. I'm like, oh, we're done with the hair. No, you got to talk about the hair. And then my grandson keeps reminding me about his hair, that he does not want anybody touching his hair at 6 years old. And so thank goodness his parents are unlike my generation or my grandparent, where they got, you got to comb that boy's hair. You got to prick his hair. You got to do something to his hair. And he's like, no. And then his parents are like, no, we're going to leave his hair alone. So they all know something that we are not aware of. Maybe my generation is not aware of, many of us, that the importance of letting those curls
come out and extend in a way that connects them to who they really are, and that is a spiraling universe in a sacred temple of body.
But it's also the connection to its growth and development of its brain. It's right now that brain of your grandson and most children are in development. It takes you at least 25 years for all of the brain circuitry to acknowledge. And if you get damaged in between that time of birth and reaching that age, those have to be repaired. This is what post-traumatic slaves, I mean, the different labels of trauma has done. And these are ways in which we, you know, our bodies need ions that we need, and we quest ions. That's why you use the word question. You are questing the ions to help your circuitry.
Okay, and I was looking for the phrase. Have you heard the phrase Fibonacci sequence?
That's the mathematical, the magic of sacred geometry, the Fibonacci sequence.
I think that's what I was referring to. Because of what we're talking about, the spiraling galaxy, there are so many spiraling figures in our universe, plants of all time, pineapple. You look at a pineapple, and this is throughout our universe, throughout our Earth, this Fibonacci spiral, I think they call it. But I think we're at a point. What's that?
And that's the connection to the universe, because that's what I'm saying. The frequency from that comes to the Earth in our solar system. Our alignment and our planetary alignment is the ecliptic, in that you have 1,300 years of the sun and the Earth, and then you have 1,300 years that the sun is in ecliptical orbit with the sun. And so you have this spiraling connection, and this is the same thing you see, that our cells spiral, and inside of that are the atoms that spiral, and the 99% of empty space that's in every blood cell. It's the same thing as in the universe. If you magnify a human blood cell and see the atomic structure of it, and look at a picture of our galaxy, you will see the same picture.
Wow, this is so exciting and interesting to me as we grow. And I've opened up the mic for our executive producer, Naima Latif. So whenever you're ready, Naima, we are going to play our last commercials, and then we're going to come back and pull all this together for our intention and purpose going forward in this exciting time that we live in.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host, or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interest. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Thank you so much for joining me this evening. I have been paying a lot of attention to hair lately, especially my own, and I want to help women and men out there to nourish your curls, because as we're talking about these spiraling antennas coming out of a spiraling universe in our body, our spiraling spinal cord, our spiraling organs, everything is spiraling. If you look at, you open up the abdomen of the average human being, it's a picture of rainbow-colored spiraling organs. And so I'm taking a lot better care of my own spiraling curls with some vitamin hair oil. And I want to encourage all you women and men out there to start nourishing your curls and stop cutting them off as much as nourishing them. This product that I use has olive oil, vitamin E, castor oil, jojoba oil, almond oil, organic coconut oil, and rosemary oil. That's just a few of the oils that can help your spiraling curls just look royalty. You look like royalty. And if you've had trouble growing your hair, then what you have to do is watch your diet, is change your diet. Processed foods and especially sugar are so inflammatory in the body that it interferes with the nourishment that your curls are going to get, and that is what is interfering with your connection to the spiraling universe. We're all connected. That's the point of this. And as Brother Eddie Harris brought up, the numbers speak louder than anything about autism being a characteristic, a personality trait that's meant to fix us. They're here to fix us. When these drugs interfere with their natural biological order, they're still here to fix us, because what I find is the people in our lives who demonstrate this behavior are really meant to help us respond in a more loving, compassionate way. When I see someone who's on the extreme of the autism spectrum, first of all, I send lots of love and light to them, that the universe will help them in their journey to be balanced in their daily walk and their daily life. And then if I have the opportunity, I just smile, give them a smile. And if I have the opportunity, again, I want to have a conversation with them. How are you? What do you do? What's your name? Just showing love to these special, special individuals is part of our role as observers of people with this special gift.
you look at someone like Ye, my son, a.k.a. Kanye West, and he needs love more than anything. If you know his history, if you know his childhood, if you know the demonic environment that he's been in, and yet he has this really special gift to create music and poetry that is so healing to people around the planet. I look at the number of people that are have been following this man. Millions. He's been influencing millions of people all his life since he was 5 years old, from his poetry in the backseat to his crazy, appears to be crazy rants right now, but it's really his outpouring of his gifts and his visions. And so if we can stop judging this man and simply send love, light, and prayers, he is going to change this planet. He's going to change our society. But it's the hatred that keeps going at him, the judgment that is disrupting his gift. It's disrupting this gift that he has and so many other people in the autism spectrum. So I want us to take a little time and, of course, do some meditation and think about how you can bless the people in your life who are demonstrating this type of behavior. Because it's this, as we said, it's a gift from the universe to change us, to fix us. And their mental capacity is in many ways greater than ours, but it's the love, compassion, and wisdom that we show to them that is going to help them change the world, change the planet. Instead of judgment, instead of attacks, instead of hatred, it's really time for us to pause, breathe, take deep breaths in the presence of people like that, and ask the universe, how can you help them with this gift? How can you help them with this energy they have? How can you help them with this frequency that we don't understand or that we are not familiar with? That is our job as observers of people on the extreme of this spectrum. So let us take a few minutes to just do some breathing in and out, meditating on our body and our blood and how it mirrors the spiraling universe that we are in. Breathe.
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves, I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones, I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings, I know a caged bird. Many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds, but my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here, the rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I
need to quiet my mind. I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. We need to listen. Earth, my body. Water, my body. Air, my breath. And fire, my spirit. Earth, my body. Water, my spirit. Earth, my body. Earth, my body. Water, my life. Air, my breath. And fire, my spirit.
Deep breath in and exhale. And I have one more audio I'd like to share about facts about the Milky Way. And I ask you, as you listen to this, don't think of it as something out there, up there, but think of it as something inside of us that's the same wisdom going on that we're listening to.
How does the bacteria in our body know if it wants to know the shape of our body? How does an ant in a forest know if it wants to know the whole structure of that forest? Similarly, as humans, we are within the Milky Way galaxy, and how did we photograph the structure of this Milky Way galaxy within it? If you think, the camera and scientists would have gone out of the Milky Way galaxy and taken the photo. No, they didn't. Humans live on a small Earth. This Earth is a part of the solar system, and there are about 400 billion solar systems in this Milky Way galaxy where we live in, one of which is our Sun. So think how massive is our Milky Way. We don't have a chance to go beyond this now. So how do we get a photo of the Milky Way galaxy? Do you want to know this? Then let's dive into the topic right now. We have taken more than thousands of photographs of the different galaxies from our Earth. But we have to leave and travel outside of the Earth to take a photograph of our home galaxy. And the travel distance is 3 lakh trillion kilometers. At this distance only, we can get the right angle to photograph the whole Milky Way galaxy. An object made by humans which has gone far from the Earth is the Voyager 1. Launched in 1977, it has been traveling at speed of 61,000 kilometers per hour and covered a distance of 21.2 billion kilometers so far. This means that it would take 562 million years for the Voyager 1 to leave the Milky Way and take a photo at the correct angle, even traveling at 61,000 kilometers per hour speed. Let's look at what the galaxy is before to see how we got this photograph. Within a galaxy there are stars, planets, meteors, nebulas, dust clouds, black holes and more. We can classify them by the shape. Spiral galaxies, elliptical galaxies, lenticular galaxies, irregular galaxies, and some other shapes. Moreover, most of the galaxies in our universe are spiral and elliptical in shape. Our Milky Way galaxy is a spiral type which has a diameter of nearly 1 lakh light years. This means that if we travel at the speed of light from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other, it takes 1 lakh years to cross. From the Earth, we can see some parts of our galaxy, and we can enjoy its beauty on clearest, darkest night. It would be disappointing if you tried to see this from cities, because cities have light pollution. Even the stars seen on that pollution-less night are just 0.0000025% of the Milky Way galaxy. Research on the galaxies has been going on since Aristotle period. Galileo Galilei was the first to discover that the galaxy is a bundle of stars. In 1785, British astronomer William Herschel divided the sky into 600 parts, counting the stars in each region and drawing a map of the structure of the galaxy. That's Herschel map. In 1900, Jacobus Kapteyn also did some research to confirm that the Herschel map was correct. In 1910, a woman astronomer Henrietta researched the luminous nature of the stars and also made a structure map of our galaxy. Then, in 1917, Harlow Shapley explored galaxy and said that, we and our solar system are not at the center of the galaxy, we are too far from its center. At the end, current research also confirmed that he was correct. Then, in 1920, Edwin Hubble explores space with his telescope to discover that, there are countless galaxies in the universe, and that we live in one of them. Thus, research on the galaxy continued. Today, astronomers have found out the entire structure of our Milky Way galaxy, and where we are in it. Well, how did they find out? For example, we are inside a house, but we don't know what the outside structure of the house looks like. How to know that? Even if we can't know the entire outside structure of the house, we can know to some extent. If we open the window of our house and know what kind of structure the near houses are, so we can also know the approximate structure of our house. Similarly, there are billions of galaxies around us, and by examining those galaxies, they predicted that our universe would also be in a certain shape. But that prediction is more accurate. Most of our universe things are in two shapes. One is a spherical shape and the other is a flat disk shape. Planets, stars and asteroids are all spherical in shape, while spiral, elliptical, and some other galaxies are in flat disk shape. So it seems certain that our Milky Way galaxy is also in the shape of a sphere or flat disk. Moreover, based on long-term data, astronomers believe that our Milky Way galaxy was supposed to be flat in shape. With the help of more than 50 years of continuous research and observation of movement of stars, radiation from it, cosmic rotation, they made a map of our galactic structure. Also, they continuously find out and keep updating where the nebulas are and where new stars are forming. Yes, of course, no one has photographed our Milky Way, it's just artwork. But this artwork was not drawn by imaginary, with the information that has been collected continuously over the years, based on the mathematical calculations and accurate observations. Now let's understand our Milky Way's structure simply and briefly. Our Milky Way galaxy is a barred spiral galaxy. That means there will be a bar-like structure at the center of this. There are about 10 million stars around in that bar in just one light-year distance. From this galactic center there are two important arms that make a spiral. One is Sputum Centaurus arm, and the other is the Perseus arm. Both of these are the main pillars of our galaxy's spiral shape. And there are three medium arms in the space between those two arms. Sagittarius arm, Norma arm, and outer arm. One arm branch comes from Sagittarius arm, that name is Orion Spur. Its length is 10,000 to 20,000 light years, at the center of which we and our solar system are located. Our solar system is located 26,000 light years from the galactic center. Well, if we have to look close at our Milky Way galaxy, it seems that only its arm has more stars, and there are no stars or less on its outside. But the stars are spread evenly in both areas, but in the arms there are more nebulas spread out, so that it looks like that. Nebulas are full of dust clouds which create new stars, that's why that place is more dense. Just as our Earth orbits the Sun, so does the solar system orbit the center of the Milky Way. Earth takes 365 Earth days to fully orbit the Sun once, while the solar system takes 214 million years to orbit the center of the Milky Way with the speed of 230 kilometers per second. Scientists estimate that the Sun has orbited only 18 times since it was born. And the rotation of our galaxy, the number of stars in it, the movement of these are not yet fully understood. It may take thousands of years to fully understand our Milky Way galaxy. At its center is a very large black hole. Its name is Sagittarius A, almost a billion times heavier than our Sun.
So I'm going to pause that there because I'm sure some of you don't have any interest in knowing any more than he's already said. And I think there's a lot of research to be done. In fact, I got a text about some of the information that he was given was not accurate or correct. But I think all of us should do our homework and look into these things. But I hope and pray that you're visualizing your own human vessel as the Milky Way and as the universe spiraling inside of us. And I think it's just so important. I'm going to be really teaching and encouraging all you women and men to let your curls come out of your brain, out of your head, so that you can have the protection and the connection to the universal frequency of love, power, compassion, and wisdom. That's what these curls are all about, connecting us to that higher knowledge, higher energy, higher frequency, and giving us the protection that Shankwella Robinson did not have. And so many women like her who are covering up their curls with strange hair, foreign hair, and all sorts of other stuff. Now, I cover my hair with colorful cloth. I love putting on patterns or material over my head and spiraling and making turbans. So I think we have the freedom to cover our hair if we want, but please stop covering your hair with other strange hair and hair that could have been sacrificed to other deities. So I hope this show has been helpful for you. Any comments or questions before we go, press one, or let's see, Kwame and Eddie, your mics are already open. But I want to thank the brothers especially for confirming what I sometimes think, I've heard enough. I don't want to talk about that anymore. But as Eddie and Kwame Sunhorse come on, it's just a confirmation that we are indeed united spirits, united souls who are getting the same information about this journey that we're on that is meant to help all of us grow and evolve into the powerful, powerful beings that we are. Thank you all for sharing tonight. And just, yeah, Kwame, your mic is open.
Okay, and the only thing that I sent you, and it's at the bottom, it talks about Psalms 19:6, where it says he's going forth and is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the end of it, there is nothing that is hidden from the heat thereof. Going forth, Messiah, the Hebrew meaning for the dawn, the east gate, the rising of the sun. See, our ancestors knew. That's why I said he was incorrect talking about from the Greek period. This is where they learned it from the Kemetic. This is how we aligned long before the European had even the concept. Even the heavenly body is named. He said he named the sun, the moon, the stars, the signs, and the seasons. So all of that was already done in the creation story and in the beginning. So what we're looking at is our beginning.
Yes, thank you very much for that affirmation, that correction, because I think it just reminds us all to do our homework and study, because you can listen to these analysis all day long, but if you don't do your own, you won't even believe it. You're just listening. So do your homework, do your studying, and allow me to share with those who are in the dark. Please share with us in the dark and encourage your brothers and sisters to grow their curls, grow their antennas, take care of their antennas, keep that body healthy. So tomorrow, don't forget to join Zelda. She is going to be talking about how the CTA or whether the Uber, Lyft, or other transportation companies have ripped you off. We need all the wisdom and team of radio hosts. So tune in tomorrow on the Female Solution, the Monday Morning Mindfulness at 7 a.m. Central Standard. So we're going to say goodnight and bless you all. Come back, tomorrow, and then I'll be back Friday with health and working with Bianca. So thank you all. Have a beautiful week and stay warm.
Spasiba. Germany. Danke. Poland.
Danke.
John, could you? France.
Yeah.
Merci. Spain.
Si.
Gracias. Italy.
Gracias.
Grazie. Egypt.
Grazie.
Shukran. Ghana.
Shukran.
Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.